I had an opportunity once upon a time to bless an offering, see. And it occurred to me about this much time before I started. You're going to pinch the cord if I say the wrong thing. So, that God is the biggest giver of that's ever been. He's the biggest giver. See. And so we come along and try to copy him. And so we want to give a little bit. It should be in your heart to give. You know, to people, I really have a problem preaching on tithing. I mean, I would have that problem. Now, I don't have to do this every Sunday, so I don't run out of topics. See? Right? But it should be in your heart to give because you're part of him and he's the giver. So, bless it.
Father, we come to you today, first of all, with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, that you are God over us and in our lives, and you have our best interest in mind and at heart. So, Father, we just ask you, we come today with our tithes and offerings that we might be a blessing to you in the kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Did you listen to the words real good? Whose light is it? His light? Not yours. It didn't come out of you. Okay? You need to keep that in mind. On my, let's see now if I don't get this wrong. On my computer screen, and believe me, it's a 99% entertainment and 1% help on my job, isn't it? We look up addresses. Maybe I should get. That's all we do with it, okay? No internet, because I don't know how to get on there. But on my screen is a saver. Is that what they call it? What do you call this thing? It's a saver. Goes across the screen all the time, top to bottom. I'm going to put it up here what it is. If you've ever been in my house when the when this thing is on, then you'll see it. Okay? Look. Big time question here. See it, Branka?
Yep.
You see, I'm going to tell you the truth about this. There's only one person in the flesh that can answer that question. But there's a whole lot of people that's living knows whether you do or not. So the only person you wind up or end up or in the process of trying to accept that you love Jesus is yourself. That's the only one you fool. Except other people who are fooling themselves the same way. You can fool them. But there's one that you can. Who's that? He knows everything? I wrote down a notebook to speak on. That's it. But I write small, see. I go over to the old folks' home in Rock Hill once a month. Most of the time, I don't do this because you can't keep their attention long enough to stay on the subject anyway. And I give them permission. Well, now I'm telling you the truth. You know, I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying, you know, they got a short span. You know, it's like a little kid. If I'm offering them candy, boy, they got their hand out. But when I take, you know, when there's nothing there, it's what we're going to do next. See, I see church like that most of the time. What's next? What we going, not that, you know, what's coming for us as a church is not good, but they want to be entertained, see? And so what do we have that's bigger than the last entertainment job? That's what I see churches evolving into. Maybe I'm just one in this. No, I think I got two. I got a friend that sees the same thing. But I talk to these old people. I don't use notes most of the time. I'm doing this so that I don't... See, I only did a few on the second page. But I want to read you something from the Word so that I don't misquote it. It's in Matthew 6:14, if you want to look it up.
No.
Excuse me. I'm on the wrong page already. 4:4. That's Matthew 4:4. Somebody changed my notes. Martha. Maybe I ought to get in the right chapter. Let me see if it's over here. All right, I'll go to 6. I'll just skip that one since somebody wrote it down wrong. How about 6:24? Do we got a 6:24? No wonder I can't. Why don't we go back to Matthew 4:4? I've been in Zechariah here for 15 minutes. We're going to have fun today. All right. Matthew 4:4. We're back to, see, I told you I wrote it down. I just thought somebody changed it. You ready? Has everybody got the NIV?
No.
It's not going to sound the same. So you try to interpolate as best you can, okay? Okay, here we go. If there's something in here you can't swallow, just read it out of yours and accept it out of there because it's close enough. Okay, here we go. Jesus responded to a question, and he says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." Which means to me that bread will keep you alive in the flesh. Okay? You don't need the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be saved. Millions of people running around without that. All of them eat bread or some substance, right? But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now I'm going to tell you what. There's no life coming except that way. Now, you guys can ask questions anytime you like, okay? Because I'm accustomed to it. The old folks says, "I never saw that in the Word before." I don't mind, because I don't want you to leave with a question. That's not good. So I just want you to keep this in mind. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word. Now look at 6:24. I knew we'd get over there. Important. If you're not going to read, listen good. No one can serve two masters. Now, we could stop right there, but I'm going to show you that he's just, you know, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Not my words. I'm not making them up. It's not my opinion. You understand? You cannot serve both God and money. I don't know who put this money thing in there. You know what I mean? Power is just as binding as money. But you can't serve two masters. Now, 1976, January 28th, and let me get this restaurant right because I went to the wrong place the week before. I should have been saved 1 week earlier. I went to the wrong place. It's like I was in Zechariah. It happens. Athens Restaurant. Okay? January 28th, 1976. I started serving another master. I hadn't stopped. I hadn't changed masters. Doesn't mean I hadn't messed up, because boy have I apologized a whole lot of times and used that little bitty six-letter word, repent. Is that a six-letter word? Okay, I'm still good. I've repented a bunch of times for making boo-boos that were just unreal. John 8, the song, you remember what it was about? I have a light. Let's look at John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He's the light of the world, okay? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Oh, is that good news? If you follow Jesus, you will never walk in darkness. Now, you may do a lot of stupid things. And Forrest had it right. Stupid is as stupid does. There's a lot of truth comes out of the movies. I don't suggest going there to get most of them, but there's truth that comes out of there. And we've all done some stupid things that we wish we could just say, ooh, I just wish I could take that eraser and go, S-s-s-s. Well, he does. God does. He just goes, S-s-s-s, and it's gone forever. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have, past tense, will have the light. Could we stop there? I have a light. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Not that they're going to get it after 30 years of praying in a monastery, you know, with another bunch of old monks, because I'm getting there, you see. I'm shining through. You get the light. Now, I guarantee you, on January 28th at 07:15 in the morning, I didn't have any idea what the light was. I had no comprehension of what it was. But somewhere between there and Mother's Day, and because I never kept up with the rest of this stuff, it was happening too fast. I mean, it was beep, 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 beep. Somewhere between January 28th and Mother's Day, whatever Mother's Day is it on the same day every year? It's not? Well, whenever it happened in January 1976, Mother's Day, that's when my bride got the light, was given to her on that day, on Mother's Day. In a little Baptist church in Fort Mill, right? First time I ever lost my voice, I couldn't speak. I just sat there looking and happy. You know, you can get so happy you can't talk. Sometimes you get happy enough to cry. That's good. I can listen to this song. I got three of them in a row that I listen to in the van when I'm traveling by myself because, you know, I'm greedy and I don't want to share all these emotional experiences with Martha because she likes her own little tape and she plays hers and gets the same hallelujah out of it that I do with my three. But by the time I'm through with the third one, something happens to my ducks. I don't know what it is. They just get tired of swimming and splashing and stuff runs out, you know, down through here and drips off your nose. And people going down the road think you're crazy. It's all right. One of the reasons I'm in the kingdom is because I knew a man once who I thought was crazy. He was my uncle. I thought, I knew he'd lost it. He'd lost what he used to do because he used to lie and cheat and drink and run around with some lady that wasn't his wife and maybe a bunch of them, I don't know. But he had quite a reputation. And he built on it every day, the same thing. Got higher and higher like a pile of stuff, you know. But he got the light one day, and he went crazy for Jesus. He fell in love with Jesus, and he never fell out, never. And the last time I saw him, they'd cut both of his legs off. He was in a rest home in Gastonia. And the last time I saw him that he could comprehend what I was saying, I says, "How you doing, Uncle?" He says, "I'll be there soon." When he cut his legs off, I was praying that it would be sooner. I wouldn't do that for somebody I didn't love. If I didn't know where they were going, I'd never do that. Because I don't want them to have as many opportunities as they could here. See? But after he received the light, it wasn't a question on where he was going. He never disappointed me. Never. He was a standard I could see in the flesh. Now, he would never take credit for that. Look who I am. No, sir. Humble guy. I saw Moses walking on the earth. And my uncle. Because he was humble. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't get the light as easy as a lot of people would like the world to believe. Because when you're in the world, you don't have the light. And you don't get the light until he brings you into the kingdom. You don't get his light. This is how you know, okay, whether you're going to love Jesus or not. It's a self-test. You don't need to hammer anybody else with this. If you don't qualify in these areas, I'm going to tell you what. Sometime when you're by yourself, there'll be somebody there with you. You can't see him, but he's there. And you need to get intimate with this person in conversation and honesty. You see, if you don't love this Jesus, and see, I can relate because I ain't love squat, and I knew it. There's a lot of people don't love, and they don't know it. They think what they're doing is loving. I remember we went to a little church in Fort Mill. Martha filled out. This is Martha, my wife, for any people don't know. She's right here. I should ask her to speak, but I don't want her to fall on the floor under the power. She would. She filled out one of these visitation cards, you know, and the preacher came over. Because he was visiting. He was just doing their job. That's what they do. You fill out a card and they come to your house and say, how you doing? We want to talk to you. Not we, he was just by himself. He come through my front door. I hadn't been saved very long, see, and I'd been cleaning out my liquor cabinet. I know that's strange. It's hard to believe, but I had a big bag sitting by the front door, and nobody ever come in the front doors, but when the preacher came, that's what he came in. And he opened the door, and he looked right at that big bag of booze, because I had all kind in there, you know, and he says, wow, did I miss the party? I says, I hope so. I said, I'm taking this to the dump. And I'm going to break each one. I'm not going to give them to somebody. I'm going to break them. He says, phew, boy, had me worried there for a minute. CB, I says, well, it's good you're concerned. I'm glad. Now I've told you. Well, we went, this is before Mother's Day, by the way, okay? Before she got the light, we went into the living room, which we used to have one. Now we just have one room because we took the wall out. But we went in the living room and sat down. And Martha's listening on the other side of the wall. I didn't know that. See, and the preacher's talking to me, and I'm telling the preacher, you know, the way of it, you know, in my life. I says, hey, I never loved anybody but me. And all that was selfishness. I mean, I never loved anybody. I didn't love my parents. I had friends, but we used each other. See, I never loved my wife. I had three kids at the time. I said, I never loved either one of my kids. I just took care of them. I provided. I always believed in working because I figured, you know, working's better than bumming. And I'd be bumming if I didn't go to work. Well, anyway, she's sitting on the other side of the wall hearing all this, see. And then I told the preacher, until I found Jesus and love came into my heart, I never loved her. She never heard that part. When the preacher left, I heard a lot of parts. I mean, she climbed my tree. And then I had to spend all afternoon explaining to her that, honey, I mean, because of Jesus, I really do love you now. Anything you want, I'll just lay down my life for you. And I will. So much for that, see. But here comes the light. The light comes into those people. And I really believe this with everything that's in me because I tried to bargain with God. I don't know whether any of you guys have ever done that or not. Maybe y'all were more honest than I was. But I tried to bargain with him, see. I remember sitting on a log out on Old Dixie Highway, hung over to the hills. I'm sitting out there in a sweatsuit, and it was about 90 degrees, and I was sweating like crazy. And I'm saying, God, if you'll just give me a job, I'll do anything. I'll polish the gold streets. I know if you got any latrines, that's toilets for you non-military people. If you have any thing you'd like for me to clean, I'll be glad to be the keeper of the cleaner. I'll do anything, just let me in. Now, this was, boy, a number of years before I got the light, before I gave up. See, but down in Athens Restaurant, I said this to the only thing that I knew to speak to in my mind, I was saying, if you're real, you can have my life. I don't know. I've messed it up big time, but I'll give it to you. If you really want it, I'll give it to you. Everything. And I remember a thought flashing that quick right after I said that in my mind. And it said this, even if it costs me every friend I have. Because, see, I knew all my friends were drunks and mongers. And I wasn't going to hang out mongers and them anymore. And so I knew that it was going to cost me. But I didn't care. And right on the tail of that, I said, even if it costs me my wife and children, I don't care. I'll give you my life, which is everything. See? Now, I got a lot of tests coming along. I used to love my golf clubs. I used to make a joke. I'll loan you my wife, but not my golf clubs. I'm serious. Did I not believe that way, Raymond? I'm serious. Well, come to test, see, right here at Lamplight Church. I can't remember this boy's name, but he went to Clemson. He's a nice boy. Graduated, I think. I'm not even not sure what he did. But he wanted to play golf one day. And so he come to me and he says, don't you have some golf clubs? I said, yeah. He says, can I borrow them? I said, oh, me, here's a test that won't quit. I says, yeah, you can borrow them. I say, I just ask you one thing. Don't hit rocks with them for fun because it damages them. He said, oh, I won't hit rocks. I said, good. Play as much as you want. When you get through, bring them back. If you want to. You know, if you just can't stand it, well, you can keep them, I guess. Well, see, I got tested on a lot of things that I was attached to. That I had to know in here and in here, could I turn them loose? And so far, I've been able to turn loose everything, so far. Now, it may be a test tomorrow that I may take 30 minutes or so to turn it loose. I don't know. But so far, we bought a new car. Ginger was 16 years old. She just got her license, didn't she? We had an old car, too. In fact, I bought it from Don. 63 Chevy 2. It went around. I gave it to Bobo and Kathy. Anyway, the both of them were sitting in the driveway. Mama wanted Ginger to go to the store to get something from Food Lion, which was just up the street. Ginger says, okay, give me the keys to the Honda. That was the new car. I said, no, take the old car. And the Lord says, ha, you don't mind her taking the old car? I says, Ginger, take the new car. It's full of gas. Come home sometime or another. And I handed her the key. See? Now, I handed that key to a lot of people in here, and we put 82,000 miles on that thing in 1 year, didn't we? Huh? That's a lot of mileage, but it went out because I didn't care. I'd turned it loose, and it didn't mean anything to me anymore. That's just a product of the light, okay? I got to get busier. We'll never get through all these. I put down 47 scriptures. I really didn't. Anybody remember John 8:31-2? In Lamplight Church in Moorhead, it was introduced. You remember that? Yeah, I know Barb does. You remember it, Joyce? You remember who introduced it? Oh, this wonderful guy I used to know. His name was Bob Jackson. Big heart. Big light. Huh? Introduced at John 8:31-2. But 8:31-2 says something that's really long term applying. It says this. Let me read it. I don't want to mess up, see? Okay? This is a quote out of the Charlie's Bible here, so listen to it. To the people in Lamplight who believed Jesus was who he said he was. If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. And if you hold to my teaching, then you're going to know the truth. And when you know the truth, you'll be set free. That's a little paraphrase, but it's not far off. In fact, I don't think it's off at all, is it? Miss Connie? Spot, watch this. Miss Connie, what's my favorite verse? Come on. Don't get hung up now. Help her out, Keith. It's 6-something another, isn't it? You remember I did this in Love Concern. Well, maybe it was for umpty-dump years. John 6:63. And I don't have to look it up, but you can if you like. It says the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Zero. All the stuff done in the flesh. Zero. Anything motivated by and carried through by the Spirit gives life. That's my favorite verse. Now, once upon a time, we used to try to teach Sunday school, and that was what the Lord gave me, just like 8:31 and 2 is what the Lord gave Bob. You are really my disciples if you hold on to the word. Okay. So let's look at 8:42 and see what Jesus packs John full of this stuff, and he puts it all in one chapter just about. 8:42. Now Jesus is saying to us, because he said it to them, it's still in them, it's still going. He's saying this to us. If God were your Father, you would love me. You see this right here? Look at it. For I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Oh. If God were your Father, and everybody wants to pray this from the time they're taught little bitty things, our Father, which art in heaven. And then we messed it up, see? We added stuff to it. It's in Matthew, but we put stuff on the end of it. It's not in the book. Why we won't do that? Are we not satisfied that that gets through? We got to add something to it? Look at Matthew 6. Let's see if it's there. Is that where the Lord's Prayer is? I think. How about that? I don't have that written down here, see, that's my memory's getting better. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now there's nothing after that. Why we want to add something? Why? The elders and I've been discussing. All of us have been discussing for some time. How do we get to some people who don't want to be got to? And we've about reached a conclusion, haven't we? You just let them go. They'll bump into a rock somewhere, and that rock, we spell it with the 5 letters. Right? Jesus. Either they're going to bump into him or they're going to go out of this world without him. But you can't change people. See, I have found a new verse that I like. And it's in Samuel, 1 Samuel. Won't you look at this? Chapter 10. I'll just read it if you don't want to look it up. I mean, I know how it is when you get taxed. Is it 10:8? No, I'll have to find it. 10:6. This is written about Solomon, I think, isn't it? Saul? Okay, Saul. One of them guys that's in position there, see. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them. And he's talking about prophets. And you will be changed, past tense, into a different person. Now, back to the light, see, that he gives us. If the light doesn't make you a different person, guess what? You run in the black light theater. Huh? Black will not show up. No, it's a light that makes it show up, isn't it? It reflects something. It reflects itself. But black don't show up. It'll never be construed as light. Black won't. The color black. Okay? It's just, they was talking about a black hole in space. I can't imagine. How'd they find it? They have to look for something out there, and then when they don't see anything, they declare it, that's a black hole. I think it's the door to heaven. Personally, that's just my thought. You know, you, because nobody can see in there. I mean, they got all these theories. It's like, you know, we came from slime. You know, one of these little amoebae crawled out of the swamp one day and jumped up and hollered, I saw the light. And he started growing hair and arms and feet. And pretty soon, he could ride a horse. Then he learned the alphabet, and we all been in trouble since then. Isn't that some theory? Back in John, because I love John. Okay. Let's look at 14. You understand that most of this stuff is so that you can test yourself and see whether or not you really love the Lord or not. You know, I'm convinced because once upon a time, I knew I was lost. I knew it. See, nobody had to tell me. And if they did, it just upset me. Really, really good. Listen to this. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he or she is the one who loves me. See here? See, you can say, well, I love Jesus. But I just don't think it applies for today. You know, we've been liberated. Right? I mean, I had an acquaintance, let's not call him a friend, it's somebody I know, told me that pot just relaxed them. Helped their anxiety. Oh, I says, I can relate to that, buddy. Case of Budweiser do it too. You can get so relaxed you won't recognize daylight. Your eyes just shut. Now, you know, I didn't tell him this, but I said, you know, I remember going to a race one time out here to 600. I think it may have been the 500. I don't know then. It was way back. And I missed the first lap, and I missed the last lap. I woke up, and there was a Corvair going around the track, and I thought, he doesn't even have a number on that thing. Why is he in the race? So you can get real relaxed with help. Anxiety can go away. But what happens the next morning? We were talking about this. Wasn't much traffic on the road yesterday going to Augusta. We had run down there. What happens? Where were they? Getting over that relaxed state they'd been in the night before. If you have his words and you obey them, then you love him. Not my words. It's in the book. 14:21. Right? Anybody read that besides me? We've been looking for something to show up here. I'm going to tell you something. This is... Okay, I'm going to do it. Okay. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him. Now listen here. We want him to presence, right? It's what we've been asking for. And show myself to him. Singular him. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I just don't believe Jesus is going to show up at a rock concert and flash himself on the screen and do 3 or 4 dozen miracles so he can convince all them boys it's high on everything. And the ladies who's topless being passed across the crowd. He's not going to dazzle them with his abilities. But if you love him and you keep his commands, the promise is that his Father will love you. And he will love you, Jesus, and he will show himself to you. Now, number one, if you love him, and that's a question for you, put it on hold. It's okay. See, if you love him, and if you are obeying his commands, then if you really want to see him, read this thing about at least once a day and say, okay, Lord, I love you, and I'm keeping your commands best I can. Send somebody by if you don't like what I'm doing and straighten me out. But I want to see you because it says you will show yourself to me and put me in there instead of him. You know what? He will. You think I'm just telling you something that ain't happened, but I'm telling you he will. See, I learned a long time ago, there's no need telling you about your experience. That's not going to help squat, because that's hearsay to me. But when I say something happens, it's because I've been there. I have experienced something. You follow me? Okay? Now, it's not a bad story if you want to relate something that's happened to somebody else. That's good. But you need to make sure that you underline that thing is that's what she said. Because you don't know. But when it happens to you, you know. I like to put a time on this thing, but I just don't know how to do it. Not that we need to get out of here or anything. But when I was in Athens restaurant and I gave the Lord my life, I walked from the back room. They used to have a back room. They don't have a back room anymore, but the devil got scared and he tore it up. But I walked from the back room to the checkout counter. And I was buying me some cigars because I used to smoke them stinking cigars, didn't I, honey? How could you tolerate that all this? Those guys stink at smoking cigars, see? I mean, really, they weren't Cuban $5 cigars. They were cheapo cigarillos. Stink. But see, Steve McQueen smoked them, so I figured I'm going to be big time. So, you know, anyway, I walked up there to the counter, got me two packs of them things, laid them on the counter to buy them. And everybody had left but me. And there was nobody there to take my money. And I'm standing there waiting. And right here, this voice says, "Why are you buying those?" And I looked around and I didn't say a word. I just put them back. That quick. And I'm on the way to work and I says, "Lord," because I thought that once you give your life to the Lord, you could talk to him and he could talk to you. I figured that's the way it was. You know, not growing up in the church, you see, not being, you know, having to rely on the Pope to get my messages. I figured that's the way it was. I just thought that's the way it was. So on the way to work, I'm talking to God. I didn't know Jesus was God, and I didn't know the Holy Ghost was in the area at all. So I'm brand new. So I'm talking to him, and I'm saying, "Okay, you know I've quit 100 times, and that's been generous." I said, "And it's going to upset me if I go up, you know, eat lunch, and I have to walk uptown and get me some cigars because I'm wanting one. It's going to upset me." I said, "But I tell you what I'll do. You take away the desire, I'll never touch one again." Lunch came and went. No desire. So my second fleece was this. I went home that night. Martha had the meal ready, and I'm thinking, ain't no way to get through two meals without wanting a cigar. No way. So I'm doing this again. I said, it's going to upset me if I have to drive to Charlotte to get some, because at that time, Fort Mill was like a desert city. They closed up at 5 o'clock, and everybody went home. There was nothing open. So I had to come to Charlotte. I said, it's going to bother me. It's going to bother me if I have to do that. And supper came and went, and no desire. And I'm here to tell you that I haven't had one since. And I've been in all kind of smoking conditions. Other people's, where you can't get out of it. You know, they breathe in my air, and I'm having to breathe their smoke. But it went away because there was something in here that was honest with the person I was speaking to. And when I got honest with him, he got effective in me. See, he'll do it in you no matter what. See? Okay. That's just tidbits along the way. Let's see what 14:23 says. That's a continuation, I think. See, John dittos most of his stuff anyway. He says, "Hey, guys at Lamplight, listen to this. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." I've heard it quoted 1,000 times since 1976. "If you love me, you'll keep my commands. Obey my teaching. You'll do what's right." What's that thing saying? forgotten where it is now, but it's act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before the Lord. It's in the last book, isn't it? In the Old Testament. That's our duty. Act justly. Love mercy. And walk humbly before the Lord. It's our duty. Well, if you act unjustly, you have to obey His commands. If you have them. If you have the light, I'm convinced you will. Unless, now, there was a thing going on a few years ago that said God died. Remember that? Some Catholic priest, I don't know. You remember that, don't you? I do. It was right funny to me. I thought, wow. God died. So let me tell you something here. If the Holy Ghost didn't die, then He's still with us because He's everywhere. He's looking for people to bless. Says so in the Word. And I can tell you something else. If you have something that we differ on, okay? If we differ on any topic or anything in the Word, it says in the Word, just don't you worry about it. He will make that clear to you. Now, He didn't say He'd make it clear to me. He said, no. You understand? If you differ on some point, don't worry about it. It's not a big thing. It does indicate that at least one of you hadn't learned the truth. It might indicate that both of you don't know the truth. See, and you may never come to agreement on that. Now, question, why do we fuss and fight? We don't get our way. You see, you'd think it, you know, after a few years you'd grow up, you know, you get, you know, because gray hair is supposed to be a sign of maturity, and falling out is too, I think. But you would think that, you know, you would get up past quarreling over little bitty things. But it's because you don't get your way. Now, I have a granddaughter. How old is she? 4. She has learned to throw a temper tantrum. She does not get her way. I got to tell you a story. Funniest thing of it, I mean, it's just one of those prime times when you wish you had it on film because everybody could have enjoyed it, you know. Sydney, or my granddaughter, and her friend, Caitlin, not the Caitlin we know, but another Caitlin, were over at our house, and the brother was. Brody was there with them, see. So Caitlin and Sydney's out on the porch playing. Caitlin evidently got the doll that Sydney wanted, the little granddaughter. And so Sydney snatches it away from her, takes it, because she's a little bigger. Anyway, Caitlin came in there, and she'd come to you, come to Mom Martha, and crying, "Sydney took my doll. I was playing with it." So Ginger's there. That's my daughter, the mother of one. And she gets them both there, and she says, "All right, who had the doll first?" And both these little girls' hands went up at the same time, you know. And I thought, oh, that is so rich. Now, that is rich. But I didn't get it on film, so you just have to use your imagination. Now, one of them was telling a falsie. Now, the one that grabbed it probably got accused of it, because I think she probably did. In verse 24, listen to this. This is how simple the gospel is, okay? "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." You could just end everything right there. "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So we go over here and we say, do you love Jesus? Yeah. Well, I got a good little simple little thing right here. I'm going to quit because you guys getting hungry? No, we got time, man. That's good. Okay. I'm going to, where is this here? Okay. Matthew 6:14. Flop back there once. See, I left my glasses in my spots. No, I got them. I can see. These things do wonderfuls. 6:14. We got all of these things to go by to organize our life and do well and act justly and love mercy and walk humbly before the Lord. And we get hung up right here. It's the biggest thing I know of in the Word that hangs people who say they love Jesus, but they're unwilling to obey his teaching. And Jesus says, that's not possible. My good pastor, who I wish was here, could hear this, because it was some reference made to an all-white black dog. And I used to love that. It's a, what do they call that in the real world, an oxymoron? You know, I kind of like that. I don't know what an oxy is, but I've run across a lot of morons in my day. And I'm sure you have too. You know, you just, you don't put them down. A person can't help what they are up here. You know, if they're missing an oar, you just let them float down the stream. You don't require them to row, because if they row, they're going to go round and around. And you following them, that's the way you're going to go, round and around. Okay? All white, black dog. Is that impossible? Think about it. An all white, black dog. It's the same thing here. This is a biggie. I want you to get it. Listen. For the umpteenth time we've covered this, I'm sure. Not today. You're not hearing it first today. Read. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, here comes the goat, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. So where are we? Do you love Jesus? Now, the test is not going to be whether you raise the dead, or you preach, or you heal the sick, or you give away your fortune to the poor. That's not going to be the test, guys. Nobody's getting in that don't do this. If you don't love Jesus, we're just not going to be segregated in heaven. Is that not wonderful? Do you know that minority groups are going to be eliminated at the gate? How about denominations? See, they'll be eliminated too. Show up. We're going to judge the Episcopalian. Well, I used to tease people about the Presbyterians. But, you know, that's a standard thing, and I'm not going to do that. We're going to judge the Presbyterians first. So, all you guys, Presbyterians, line up over here. I got my favorite little saying to people who, if I ask them, I say, are you a Christian? They say, well, I'm a Methodist. I say, really? I said, well, there's going to be some Methodists make it to heaven, but they'll drop their title before they get in. Because you're not going to wear a uniform. You know, we got the Air Force uniform. The Marines got a nice-looking dress uniform. Hot, but it's nice. Sailors has got a nice-looking uniform. White, but it gets dirty easy. Army's got a uniform that you can play in the mud with, and you can't tell the difference. Really? Well, when we get there, we're not going to be issued one. You're going to be wearing something else. What is it? Anybody remember from old days teaching? Has it got something to do with righteousness in it? White robe of righteousness. If you love him, you will obey his commands. If you don't love him, you won't. So you can justify it until you see him face to face. And it won't change a thing. Nothing. Now, the reason I know, I'm not going to just leave you out here, because I know, I told you I think, things happen to me, I preach about it. If it don't happen to me, I don't want to cover it, because I'm not familiar with own hands. You know what I mean? I got to get my fingers dirty. I don't even know how long I was saved before we ran into the guy that I hated dearly as a teenager and wanted him to die. I wanted to kill him, but I didn't have gump enough, and I was afraid they'd put me in jail forever if I did. But I thought seriously about killing him. If I'd known I could have got away with it, I would have. But he hurt me physically, and I wanted to kill. I wanted him to die. I just wanted him to get warts and die. You know, a horrible death. I would have laughed at his last breath. But this was before I got the light, okay? So I got the light, and I'm learning a little bit because I came over to Moorhead, and Jim was, boy, he talked fast. You know what I mean? It was hard to keep up with him because Maryland people do that, I guess. I don't. But he was talking fast, and I was grabbing everything that came my way. Great. And he covered this verse. If you don't forgive people when they sin against you, God won't forgive you. I said, uh-oh. There's one I hadn't forgiven. I don't know where he is. I hadn't seen him in 25 years or more. Didn't have the slightest idea. Is it important? You listen to this and tell me. On a given day, Martha and I was going down to visit her sister in Florida. We were on I-95 going south. At a rest area, I pulls in, parking space. I get out. I just stepped out of the car. Guess who pulled in right beside of me? This guy that I had hated for 25 years and didn't know where he was. Because I told the Lord, if you present him, I'll ask him to forgive me for hating him, for holding an offense. Is it important? Or was that just circumstances? Coincidence? Is that crazy? Well, just to make it doubly hard, I didn't do it because Martha was fussing at me to go. And he was trying to feed 9 kids because they was on the way to Disney World. And here we were. And I says, oh, man. I was going down the road begging the Lord to forgive me because I'm not doing what I said. I says, that woman you gave me. I know how Adam felt. That woman you gave me, Lord. So I'm sorry, but she's the one raising the Cain. And so I made another vow before the Lord. I says, Lord, if you'll present him one more time. I still didn't know where he was. I had no idea. I says, but if you'll present him one more time, I will not will not let him get away. I'm big enough to throw him on the ground. I'll make sure he hears me. He won't get away. Goes over to my mom's house in Kings Mountain. She didn't cook bread one day. She says, would you mind running down to Blaylock's store? Now, this is not this guy's name, see. I says, yeah, I'll go down there. I'll get you a loaf of bread. I goes down to Blaylock's store and open the door, and guess who I am looking at? There he is again. Bingo, right up like one of them things you shoot at the carnival. You know, it goes, boom, there it is. And I kept my eye on him, see. He had bought Blaylock's store. I didn't know that. I just kept watching him. I wasn't going to let him go. I'd already made up my mind. And his mother was in there. She was doing what Martha was doing. Bending my ear. I couldn't hardly get away from her, see, but I was watching him. And I went up to the counter, and I laid my loaf of bread on the counter for him to ring it up and take my money. And here comes the miracle. I didn't say a word to him. Not a word. He asked me. He says, you remember when I hit you with that baseball bat when you was a kid? I says, yes. That's unreal. That's the second time I lost my voice. I couldn't talk. He said, I need you to forgive me for that. He said, I got saved. I didn't know where you were. I need you to forgive me for that. I didn't even tell him about the story. I-95, I've never told him. But he does it to me before I can do it to him. And it, I says, Gene was his name. I says, Gene, I need you to forgive me, man. I hated you for a long time for doing that. He says, I do, brother, I do. I forgive you. I says, let's hug and make up. I got to go with this bread. Now, was it important? Can you see that to arrange all of those meetings is not just circumstance? How important is it to clean your slate? Now, if you love Jesus, you're going to do it. Because he said you would. That's what he said. Now, if you don't, you can hang on to it until you stand before him one day. See? And then he'll say to you, go away. I never knew you. Because he's not going to know somebody that's unwilling to keep his commands. Because he's not going to know somebody who doesn't love him. And the Father is not going to know somebody who doesn't love him. Now, since I don't get this opportunity but once every 15 years, I got one more little scripture I'd like to share with you. It's in John also. It's John 17. My pastor of yonder years used to be his favorite chapter. This one verse in here has became one of my favorite verses. John 17. We will start in 25 and I'll let you know when the punchline is, okay? Here we go. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. Jesus speaking. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order. Now here's the punchline. Listen, get this. That the love you have for me, Jesus, he's praying. Father, the love you have for your son may be in them. You know, the Lord promised us once upon a time that his word would not come back void. So I'm just going to tell you right now, there's a lot of circumstances getting ready to happen. If you're holding anything against anybody, period, I don't care what it is, if you say you love him, you might as well get ready to meet that person, because he's going to set the circumstances for you. If you want to correct it. And if you don't want to, well, then don't worry about it, because it's not going to happen to you till you do. But you can forget taking the light into heaven, because it's the only promise that I know of, other than blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, which I've never had anybody really convince me that they knew what they was talking about when they tried to explain that. But this one's simple. If you don't forgive those who sin against you, he will not forgive you when you sin against him. And I can assure you, you can't go through life without doing it. Because that's number one right there on the list. And it's a biggie. It's easy to fix if you just be honest with those that you have taken offense at something that they have done to you, whether it was justified or not. Somebody might have been doing their job and you just took offense because it wasn't the way you thought it should have been. You didn't get your way. I suggest everybody put this on their computer, if you got one. And if you don't, just write it on the wall somewhere. You got a wall. And if you don't, write it on the back of your hand. Don't put it on your palm of your hand, because that sweats and it'll run, you know, it'll run together. Write it on the back of your hand. And answer the question to yourself. We've had a few people die in the last few days. Mr. Strom finally gave up the ghost. He should have got out of Washington a long time ago, but he didn't. Anyway, a lot of people's died. I don't think they got anybody in heaven because they served in Washington. Is that true? Nobody's going to make it because of what you do. I mean, that's just a bona fide fact. And there's not going to be anybody there that hates the fact that they're there. Oh, man, this is the boringest stuff I have ever tried to sit in. Yuck. What am I doing here? Custer had it made better than this. Nope. You won't have to worry about it. See? When they start... When the angels start singing, and I'm sure they can carry a tune. I hope the Lord gives me a better voice than I have now, because I have problems carrying tunes. I can carry the tape. And it's slowed down because I about wore it out. And it's something else. But I really love that song we played, because it tells me one thing. The light I have is not mine. And the guy that gave it to me didn't mind giving it to me. He didn't give it to me begrudgingly. No questions, not just one. Them old people at the old folks' homes got more than you guys got, I'll tell you that right now. They ask all kinds of questions. Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, you know it. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us those, as we and protect us from the evil one. Okay? Amen. That's all I got. They used to have a thing that went on in places that I used to go to that says, this is the last call.